Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of James, James chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 7 through 11. I'll read the odd verses, 7, 9, and 11, if you'll join with me on the even verses of 8 and 10, James chapter 5. And once you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word, James chapter 5, beginning verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And let's pray this morning. Father, again, as we come another week to open up this good book, I pray that we would rest our attention for what you have for us this morning. God, if we've come and we've had a good week and you've blessed us, Lord, but to sit and to not learn, and Lord, I pray our hearts and our minds would be focused on what you have for us. Holy Spirit, would you meet with us this morning? In your name we pray. Amen.
Of God, he said, go unto the land that I will show to thee. He could not see what God had planned, so he followed the Father's hand. Faith was all he needed to trust in the Master's plan. He knew that faith reaches where sight cannot see. Faith reaches where ears cannot hear, where touch cannot feel, and taste cannot enjoy. That's when faith reaches farther than our senses will ever know. Sacrifice to God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Enoch walked with God each day, his faith led him in every way. We must live like those before us, when faith keeps us close each day. We see that faith reaches where sight cannot see. Faith reaches where ears cannot hear, where touch cannot feel, and taste cannot enjoy. That's when faith reaches farther than our senses will ever know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We must grow our faith in Jesus Christ, his blessings to receive. Faith reaches where sight cannot see. Faith reaches where ears cannot hear, where touch cannot feel, and taste cannot enjoy. That's when faith reaches farther than our senses will ever know. That's when faith reaches farther than our senses will ever know.
song this morning. I want to draw your attention down to verse number 8. I'm going to draw the title and part of the theme for the message from that verse. Be also patient. Establish your hearts. And I want to speak to you this morning on that subject. Established hearts. Established hearts. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. And keep your Bible open. We're going to look at several verses in this chapter. Father, we're thankful today for the Word, and I pray that You'll now help us as we settle in to be able, God, for a few moments to put away from our thinking those troubles that wait outside for us at home are some difficulties, some decisions that have to be made. Tomorrow may not be the best day for somebody in this room, and there might be cares and concerns waiting. But I pray that You'll help us for these few moments to concentrate on what the Spirit of God would say to us this morning. I need the Spirit of God's touch and anointing and filling. And Lord, every person who wants to get something from the Word of God needs the same touch. So Spirit of God, would You please come in this service and speak to our hearts. We give ourselves to You now. Help us, I pray, in Christ's name. And amen. Patience. The word patience. That is something that does not come easily to many people. And especially those, it seems, of the male gender. And I know we don't have a lot of ladies saying amen, but you're thinking it right now and saying, if I could say amen, I would. I wave a handkerchief up and down. But anyway, patience. There are some really good definitions of patience in Webster's dictionary. Let me read you a few of them. The suffering, patience is the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Patience is endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from constitutional fortitude or from Christian submission to the divine will. Patience is a calm temper which bears evils without murmurings or discontent. Patience is the act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. I like that. One of my favorite ones is that one right there. The act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. He also said patience is perseverance. Constancy in labor or exertion. And there are more definitions than those five that I chose to give to you in the message this morning. Why do people fall out of or away from the Christian life? That's a fair question. Why does that happen? Because it does happen. Everybody that's been saved for any amount of time in this room has maybe a relative or a friend, or you've seen even a fellow church member who fell out of or away from the Christian life. I can remember, I've said before, I go to the same church to speak in a special meeting more than once. And I'll go and then go back the very next year or maybe 2 years later. And I'll look for a particular person or a particular family and say to the pastor, where's brother so-and-so? I remember that family. Where's that man or that woman? Where's the piano player or whatever the case may be? And the pastor will say something like, you know, well, they got sideways or they just dropped off the face of the earth and completely dropped out of church and out of the Christian walk. Now, everybody knows somebody that has done that. Why do people fall out of or away from the Christian life? Now, wait a minute. Let me say this morning. Not everybody who leaves a church also abandons following Christ. Some do. But not everybody does. You know, church attendance has a restraining influence on us. And when we remove ourselves from that influence and we don't replace it with a similar church, it's going to create a void in our lives. I don't think we appreciate the restraining influence that church has on us. Well, you all do things because the Bible says, not because the church. I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that's bad. A healthy peer pressure and a healthy accountability to others of God's people is very good. I don't mean digging into people's business. I don't mean that at all. But when you join a church, you join a group of people to whom you are accountable. As a child of God, there's a restraining influence that goes with church. So when you remove yourself from that influence and you don't replace it with something similar, then you put yourself in a dangerous position. Some people leave church and they immediately begin attending another church. And, you know, eventually it may lead to some practice in their, some change of practice as far as their faith goes, but not total abandonment of Christian principles. On the other hand, some people just, they don't just leave a church, they abandon church. And I'm going to tell you something, when you abandon church, ultimately what you're going to do is you're not just going to quit church, you're going to quit Christ. That's going to happen. You're going to quit Jesus Christ. Now, why does that happen? Well, certainly, I don't think you can reduce it all down to one reason. Okay? You can't just lump everybody in the same bag and say, well, everybody that leaves the church or quits Christ quits for this reason. I do believe that James discusses one of the reasons in this passage, and it has to do with a lack of patience. If you paid attention while we were reading the Scripture, and you remember the law of repetition when studying the Bible, the word patient or some form of the word patience appears 5 times in those verses that we just read. That's 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Okay, that's at least one per verse average. Actually, there's twice in one verse and none in one of the others. But 5 times in 5 verses, God brings up the quality of patience or being patient. A lack of patience results in some Christians quitting Christ. And that's why God, in the same verse that He says, verse number 8 there, He says, be ye also patient. He says, establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. People leave Christ and quit Christ because they have a lack of patience. They fail to establish their hearts. It's one of the reasons people fall out. Now, let me give you the setting for the passage here. In the beginning of this chapter, James denounces some in Bible times who were very, very wealthy and they were taking advantage of the poor people. The wages of the poor people were withheld from them unjustly, and God was displeased with that kind of treatment. Look at verse number 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Look at verse 4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields. So your laborers, which are working in your fields, the hire of them, the money, the wages, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. Folks, are you ever mistreated? This is not the message, but while I'm on this passage and in this verse, are you ever mistreated at work? Don't say yes. You for sure better not say yes. Are you ever mistreated at work? Okay, listen. The best thing you can do is just put your nose to the grindstone and be faithful. God sees and pays attention when honest workers are taken advantage of. And God's on your side. That's what He said in verse number 4. The money that they rightly earned, you've kept back. You've withheld. And it crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Lord of Sabaoth, I think we talked about that. The Lord of hosts, that innumerable army. Your boss is in big trouble. He does you wrong. I'll get back at him. The best thing to do is let God get at him. Let God get on him. Keep your job. Be careful. And let God get on him. Okay? Now, this is what's happening. Now, obviously, this mistreatment was happening to some of God's people. Look at verse 6. Ye have condemned and killed the just, the saved. And He does not resist you. You have mistreated the saved laborers, the people that belong to Me. That's what God is saying. You've mistreated people who belong to Me. And I want to tell you something. God said, I hear that. And they haven't resisted you. They've acted properly, but I'm not happy with it, okay? So that's what God is talking about. Then He turns. This is where it takes a little bit of a turn. And He addresses His people. And He exhorts them in the face of all this mistreatment, to practice patience. Look at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He says, be patient. Look, don't grow impatient. You be patient. So life has become difficult for some saved people, and God tells them to be patient. Be patient. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. You see that at the verse number, in the verse number 8. And He says, establish your hearts. Now here is what is implied in this passage. Here's what He's saying to His people. Hey people, saved people, your time is coming. Your payday is ahead of you. That's what He's saying. For the child of God, the best is yet to come. That's what He's saying here, okay? So, you don't throw in the towel on Christian living. You don't give up on following Christ. You don't give up on the practice of your faith. This world is not going to make it easier on Christians. The community is not going to honor you for the practice of your faith. The world is not going to accommodate your beliefs. Just the opposite. You're going to be held accountable for being intolerant because you believe what God has said in His Word about certain things. The community is going to blame you for being adamant about what you believe. What God is saying is, don't grow weary, don't waver, you establish your hearts. You be patient because the best is yet to come. That's what God is saying to His people. The best is yet to come. This world is not my home. If we could ever get that down. We say it, but we don't. We have trouble believing it. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Passing through. You ever go to a foreign country and have to put up with junk? And one of the reasons you can put up with it is because, you know, I could put up with this for a few days and I'll be back home. This is not home, folks. We're not home yet. We're not home yet, brother. We're not there. No. We're just passing through this world. Don't waver. Don't grow weak. Establish your hearts. This world is not my home. The best is yet to come for the child of God. Mistreated, misaligned, criticized, all the stuff. Hey, that's all right. Just keep your nose to the grindstone and keep your heart established. That's an interesting word, that word establish. You see it there in verse number 8? It means to fix, to settle in a state. I love this. Settle in a state not of permanence, for permanence. Settle your heart for permanence. I'm not temporarily living for God because the sky is blue and the wind is at my back. And tomorrow abandoning Him. I am set to serve God permanently. That's what He's saying here. Not of permanence, but for permanence. Now, the word that you and I would use in our day and age is the word established, but it's the same thing. Make firm your hearts. Christian, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up on God. Practice patience. Practice patience. Have some patience and establish your heart for permanence. I'm in this business of living for God for the long haul. That's what He's saying here, regardless of what comes. All right. Then He uses three examples to encourage His people to be patient. Right here in the passage. Let's read it. Let's look at it here. First of all, you've got the example of the farmer in verse number 7. Look what he says. He says in verse number 7, halfway, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. The example of the farmer has patience to wait. The farmer has patience to wait. One of the definitions of patience, the act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. The farmer is an example of patience that waits. He plants the seed and then he has to wait for the harvest to be reaped. We understand that example. We live in the Midwest. We live in an agricultural area here. You plant in the spring. You harvest in the fall. Maybe there's a period of 4 to 5, 6 months for the harvest to be reaped. But folks, not everywhere is like the United States Midwest. Husbandmen in Bible times did more than just plant corn and beans. Husbandmen in Bible times They were more than just grain farmers. They had vineyards and they had orchards. They grew olives and dates and figs and nuts. You don't reap those in 4 months. I was down in Torreon, Mexico, Lord willing, if that's the Lord's will. My wife and I will be going back there in 2016 to the same church, the same group of people there, Torreon, Mexico, Brother Francis, Brother Cuellar, Brother Cuellar. And the dad and son, pastor of the church, dad's the lead pastor and the son is the assistant. And the son took me out to the village where they've started an outreach ministry outside the city of Torreon. And there were these orchards of trees. And I said to him, I said, "What kind of trees are those?" He said, "Pistachio." He said, "Brother Angel, it's 20 years before they reap a full harvest. 20 years. I looked it up online just to say, sure, I mean, I think 20 years. It's 20 years before they reap a full harvest. Date palms, where they get the dates, and then I love, I don't know if you guys like dates or not, I love dates. Date palms take 4 to 8 years to produce dates. Almond trees, do you know that almond trees bear no fruit the first 3 to 4 years? Zero. Fig trees take 1 to 2 years. Most fruit trees come into our country take 3 to 5 years to produce fruit. I've been in Florida at my folks' house. I've seen those orange orchards that those farmers, those growers are planting to replace those that are dying. I've seen the little seedlings that were planted in the ground. I wonder how long that takes that little seedling to eventually produce some fruit. It takes a while. The harvest is a long ways off. Grapevines are pretty productive in about 2 years. All of that, folks, to say this. Some harvests come quickly. Others come slowly. The farmer waits because he knows the harvest is coming. And his heart is established. Come what may. I may not reap this year, and I may not reap the next year, and I may not reap the next year, and I may not reap the 18th year, and I may not reap the 19th year, but by year 20, I can expect to reap. But he doesn't sell his equipment and plow his ground under and cut all of his trees down and abandon farming because it doesn't come as quickly as he wants it to or expects it to. He doesn't grow impatient. He waits. He waits. He waits, he waits, and people, child of God, some harvests of our Christian walk come quickly. Other harvests of our Christian walk come slowly. Establish your hearts and be patient to wait for the coming of the Lord. That's what he's saying here. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up on your Bible. Don't give up on your prayer time. Don't give up on your church. Don't give up on your Christian principles just because you're not seeing some kind of harvest as fast as you think you ought to. The best is yet to come for the child of God. Wait it out. Patience. I'm not the best example preaching to you this morning. There's a lot of us in this boat. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. You know, I get some strange things sometimes. You know, one of the most, I remember, you know, boy, you don't know what to do. You get to a rock and a hard place. You don't see somebody for 4 weeks, 5 weeks. You don't see somebody. You want to run out there the first week and, hey, man, you all right? Hey, sister, you okay? Is your family, you know, but, you know, sometimes there's sickness. Sometimes they're out of town. You don't want to act like I'm breathing down your neck. Then it turns into 4 or 5 weeks, and it's kind of like if I don't go, they're going to wonder, what am I thinking? I don't care about them. And you're just in a rock and a hard place sometimes to know what to do with people who don't show up for church. And I get some of the strangest answers. Oh, pastor, I still love God, love the church, but I'm not coming. I want to say, folks, that is one of the strangest answers I ever heard in my life. You know, if a farmer farms until he's tired of it, and then he sells out. My father-in-law farmed till he got tired of it. Then he sold us. He had a big auction. I'll never forget that. We went out there for the auction. He asked us to come. We went out for the auction. He lived in an Amish community. I bet there were 200 Amish buggies on his farm there for the auction. an Amish guy bought his turkey house. That turkey house was probably 50 yards long by 20 yards wide. Ryan, am I right on that? You were there. An Amish guy bought it, and over 200 Amish guys showed up and moved it on foot. Moved it by foot. They made the Cedar Rapids Gazette, front page. They're walking down Highway 22 with a turkey barn on their shoulders. There's 200 Amish buggies there on the day of the auction. And Brother Ballard, why did Cecil Ballard come to my father-in-law's auction? I have no idea. But he showed up, and we were standing there. Todd had no idea he was coming, and Joyce and I were standing there. I don't remember saying this, but he still says I did. He says, I said to her, honey, look at what I saved you from. You could have been married to one of these Amish guys if I hadn't come along. Did I say that? I did. That was really stupid, but anyway. That was really dumb. Oh, mercy. But you know, when John got tired of farming, he quit. When you quit on Christ, you must be tired of Him. Tired of it. Be patient. Be patient. Something else about this. The farmer, you think about this. The farmer has a lot of cost while waiting for the harvest. You know that? I mean, the cost of planting and fertilizing and pruning and cultivating and irrigating. And I was at that boy's home, and we went to on the mountain there in Tennessee, in that mountain, and we had to prune those apple orchards, prune those apple trees, and cut those suckers off of there, and prune those things back. And it cost money. That guy paid us by the hour in cultivating and irrigating and on and on. And sometimes the cost, it's years before the harvest comes, and it costs the farmer every year. It costs him and there's no harvest, and it costs him and there's no harvest, and it costs him and there's no harvest. Now, I want to say, folks, God is really good to us right now, but people understand this, the big payday is coming. God supplies our needs and He takes care of us, but the big paycheck has not yet come. You might grow weary in the way, but don't grow weary of the way. Establish your heart for the long haul and be patient. I'm in this thing. Get fat, die skinny. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm talking about serving Christ. Here's another thought. Some farmers plant and never see the harvest. You know, some guys in past years have planted walnut orchards, and in doing so, they specifically planted walnut orchards for their great-grandchildren. Think about how long it takes a walnut tree to grow from a seedling to a nut-producing tree. Those men die before they ever see the harvest. You know what our Bible says about Abraham? Brother Dan sang about Abraham a moment ago. You know what our Bible says about Abraham and Sarah? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And I thank God they died in faith, not out of faith. Be patient, folks. Be patient. Payday's coming. Don't you think for a minute that it doesn't pay to serve God. It pays to serve God. It pays every day. It's really going to pay someday. You got a bonus coming. You like that word bonus? Everybody likes a big bonus. Are you a Christian? You got a bonus coming, brother. Be faithful. Establish your hearts. You got the patience of the farmer, the example of the farmer. He's got patience to wait. Now, number two, you got the example of the prophets. Look at verses 10 and 11 here. Verses 10 and 11, look at it here. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. He said the prophets had patience to endure. The farmer has patience to wait. The prophet has patience to endure. You start naming the prophets, Moses and Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah. We'll preach about Jeremiah tonight. And Daniel. Those are some of the ones that might come to our mind quickly. Now, when you think of Jeremiah, you know what? I don't know what comes to your mind. I know he is called the weeping prophet. But when I think of Jeremiah, you know what I think of? Faithful. He made it. Did he endure trouble? Oh, my goodness. Mockery. But I don't think about that when I think about Jeremiah. What I think is, he made it. He endured. Moses, all the trouble he had. He endured. Samuel, he endured. Elijah endured. Jezebel, all that crowd. Elisha, Isaiah, Daniel. You count them blessed or happy which endure. We look upon these people, these men of God, these prophets. They remain steadfast and they established themselves through persecution and trouble and affliction, and they're blessed people. We hold them up as examples of faithfulness. Now, folks, that's what God is saying. He's saying, take lessons from them. They endured. They endured mistreatment. Sometimes God's people get a little bit offended because they get treated poorly. Folks, can I share something shocking secret with you? Being treated poorly is a part of life. If you go through life and make it without being treated poorly by somebody, you might have the only life like that on earth. Being treated poorly is part of life. Establish your heart. Not everybody is going to smile at you. Not everybody is going to shake your hand. Somebody might yell at your child. Horror. Some child in the nursery is probably going to bite your kid. And you're going to go nuts until you go to pick up your kid and they say, your kid bit so-and-so. Well, they learned it from the other guy, right? Yeah, okay. Stuff happens. Bad stuff, hard stuff, difficult stuff, stuff we don't understand. God just doesn't smile on me. God just doesn't love me. Come on. Folks, if God never did anything for us but save us, He doesn't owe us anything else. Endure. Patience to endure. It's not always easy, but you endure. Patience. The patience to endure. The example of the prophets, number 3. He talks about the extreme example of Job in verse number 11. He says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Talking about the prophets in verse 10. Then he says, ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job was an extreme example of difficulty. Would you say that's true? I mean, you know, this is the patience to persevere, to be constant in labor. You know, everybody knows the story of Job. Even unsaved people refer to Job as an example of remaining steadfast in suffering and trouble and hardship. And Job's case was extreme. It was extreme. I don't know too many Jobs in this modern day world. Do you? But let me ask you a question. How did it end for Job? Let me tell you how it ended for him. He had more gains than losses. That's how it ended. Well, man, he lost all of his cattle, and he lost all of his sheep, and he lost all of his donkeys, and he lost all of his oxen. But in the end, God gave him double. And he lost his 10 children, and God gave him 10 more. That's right, wasn't it? Yeah, 10 more. I thought it was right. You ever have a moment where you say, I think that's right? So you tell me, did Job have some losses along the way? Significant losses. In the end, when you added all the gains and subtracted all the losses, how did he come out? He had more gains than losses. And I'll promise you, that's true about every child of God. You'll have more gains than you will losses. I'm not saying you're not going to have any losses. I'm not saying you're not going to have any difficulties or hard times. You're going to have some losses in life. That's a part of life. It's a part of life. But for the child of God, in the end, you're going to have more gains than losses. Look at what he said there. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. God is never going to take from you more than He will give to you. You're going to have more gains than losses. Persevere. Establish your hearts. It cost Job. It was not easy. He had losses, but in the end, the gains outnumbered the losses. And he's saying here, child of God, you be patient to the coming of the Lord. And that's going to take some doing. You're going to have to establish your heart, get it fixed and settled for permanence. And then you're going to have to wait, and you're going to have to endure, and you're going to have to persevere. But when you do those things, you're going to find out that in the end, you'll always have more gains than losses. You always will. Don't shut out on Christ over some goofy thing, or maybe over something that's real. Some people sell out on Christ because of perceived things. Others sell out on Christ because something literally happened that was a loss. But you've got to stick with it long enough to see the gains outnumber the losses. Establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. Fix it. Permanently set it in cement. I'm going to see this through. I'm going to see it through by God's grace with His help. I'm going to wait, I'm going to endure, and I'm going to persevere patiently until the coming of the Lord, till I see Him or He comes for me, one or the other. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be popular, easy. No losses. You are going to have losses. It's not going to be popular. It's not going to be easy. But if you have patience to wait and endure and persevere, you're going to come out on top. And no doubt about it. And if you're not saved, then this passage really isn't referring to you. It's talking to saved people. And if you're not saved, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven someday when you die, then friend, it's not going to be gains. It's going to be more losses than you can imagine. You give your heart to Christ before it's too late. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening today. Heavenly Father, I trust that You'll bless the message. Lord, truth is so powerful. Sometimes the truth bearer doesn't get it across like he should. But I trust that Your Spirit today makes up for any weakness on my part, and there's a lot of it. Lord, help us to patiently wait, to patiently endure, and to patiently persevere in this business of serving You. May we not throw in the towel. May we not quit Christ just because something takes us backwards or a loss along the way. There's always more gains than losses at the end. Bless our people. May they be faithful. May we learn today the patience to wait, the patience to endure, and the patience to persevere. Please, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder this morning if the Spirit of God spoke to any particular person here. Throughout the course of the message, God spoke to you specifically about this matter I talked about today. Patience to wait, patience to endure, patience to persevere, and not throw in the towel on Christ. Pastor, pray for me when you close the message and close the invitation in just a moment. Pray for me. I needed that this morning. Would you slip your hand up? I see that. God bless you. Amen. Amen. All right, good. Thank you. Take your hands down. Somebody else, there was a bunch. That's wonderful. It's good to see God moving in hearts. Somebody else this morning. God bless you. I should have raised my hand. I didn't do it. Pray for me. All right, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Who would say today, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm sure of that for a Bible reason. I know that I'll go to heaven for a Bible reason. I know I'm saved. If that's your testimony, you can't raise your hand because the person next to you does. It's what is in your heart. Okay? That's what's important. If you don't know this, don't raise your hand. Pastor, I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven for a Bible reason. Could you slip your hand up about that? If you would, thank you. Take them down. Is there anybody here who said, Pastor, I didn't slip my hand up because I don't know for sure where I'm going when I die. I didn't raise my hand then because I don't know. Would you slip your hand in the air? Just be honest about it. I don't know where I'm going when I die. Anybody like that? Front to back, side to side. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that here today? If you're not sure that you're saved, then come to a perfect place to learn how to become a child of God. Anybody like that? How about this? Saved but not baptized. You haven't followed the Lord yet in believer's baptism. And that's something that you know you need to do. You need to obey Christ in baptism. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here today? All right, let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the ladies to begin to play the instruments. If you raise your hand, I hope that you'll come and obey the Lord this morning if God speaks to you. If you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, now's the time to come. You raised your hand a moment ago. Now's the time to come. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed while we wait.